Hey everyone, this is Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. I grew up in the greater Seattle area and have lived in the Pacific Northwest my whole life. There is a wonderful, vibrant music scene up here with an incredibly welcoming community. And growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast will explore the Northwest music scene, how to navigate it, the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. This is Made for Music. All right, welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast got his start DJing back in high school. It actually wasn't until 2 years ago that he decided to focus on his own music career. Inspired by deadmau5 and Madeon, he just released his third album, Restart, back in April, which hosts a slew of features, including yours truly, humble brag. So please welcome the man whose backup plan is a pancake truck and whose career was kickstarted by a New Year's resolution, Marin County's own Lone Human.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. The album's fantastic, so congrats on the release.
Thank you so much. Oh my God.
It's been a long time coming for this episode to actually come about. How are you feeling? You've released your third record in a little less than 3 years.
Yeah.
How do you generate that much content? Are you just always writing and it's never stopping?
It's definitely like that. I think that for the albums, it's been a progression of me understanding more and more what I should be doing and what I want to sound like. And so my first one, when I listen back to it, I'm like, this is so atrocious and disgusting. I just don't even want to listen to this. And when people look me up and sometimes it comes up and I'm like, please just turn that off. I really don't want to hear it. And the more I've been producing, the more proud I've been of my music, I guess, and more like comfortable I've been sharing it with people. But actually, Restart was the last album by Lone Human. And I think I'm done producing, at least under that name or that for like 3 or 4 years.
Is that what inspired the name Restart? Is it like kicking off?
Yep. It's the new chapter. I lost the mask. I lost, I don't know, that whole side of things just became abandoned in a way because I don't feel like I need to be that kind of a person anymore. Mm-hmm. And I have a more of an understanding of what I want to do with my music and what I want to do with others, more importantly, because I feel like this isn't really my process anymore. It's a collaborative thing. So I'd rather work more with other people instead of being Lone Human, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That name doesn't really fit what I am right now.
Are you going to continue under like a solo name or are you just wanting to produce? What's the future looking like for you?
Future is very, very uncertain, but I've been working with a lot of other EDM producers and I feel like I haven't gotten a chance to really explore that side because it's been so independent. Mm-hmm. But now, ever since the album release and I've been working with people within my school and things like that, I've found a lot of connections that way and a lot of people that I really like working with. For the most part, when I started recording, it was me doing work for other people, entirely focused on their work and things like that, or it was entirely focused on mine. But there's this idea of doing it ourselves that is just this new like idea in the music industry where it's not like, okay, you go and do this whole thing by yourself and you become a superstar on your own. It's like you have a group, you have a supportive group of people that you trust and you work with. And I'm starting to find that now. And it's like that feeling is irreplaceable. And so I'd rather work with them and join that group than try to do things on my own because I like helping people. I think it's more fun than just soaking it in all yourself, you know?
For sure. That? It makes it a lot more fun, too.
Yeah. I mean, like, on the last album, I had 16 or 17 tracks in total. I cut a lot of them because I wanted this to be cohesive. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was somewhat successful in doing that for Restart. But,
for sure.
Now that that's done and the studio days are kind of slowing down a little bit, I feel like I can finally be myself again and talk about the album. And I'm really proud of that one, honestly. I feel like that's more me than anything else I produced before. And thank you for being a part of it, too.
Oh, that song fits in perfectly. I was really excited when you were like, hey, want to do that track? I was like, yeah, I do. And it was neat for me because I'd never like featured on anything. A lot of my process has actually been solo. I write with my brother, obviously, but it's usually I write a song on like an acoustic guitar, or have a riff, go to him. And so it was very different to be like, here's actually the music's already here. Go ahead and top line it.
Yeah.
And that was really cool for me. So thank you for letting me be a part of that process.
Anytime. That's the first of many.
Absolutely. How did you go about choosing that artist, that feature on the record? Because you've got some rap, you know, singers. I don't want to say singer songwriter type, but the approach to it is more singer songwritery, especially when having that many tracks.
this, I don't know, like this album, I've been producing one album a year and I haven't really been putting that much thought into what they should be about. And so this year I was like, I'm going to make a collaborative album. And so I, early in the year, like 2017, I was recording with a bunch of random people, a bunch of random songs. And those are the ones I kind of cut because as much as I like producing, I just gave the songs away because I didn't feel like they really fit once I started to put the thing together. The rap parts, though, were really interesting because that was a guy, his name is Ray, and he used to be on campus as a cashier in this like little grocery store we had. And he would hold up his phone and he'd just kind of rap while he was waiting for people to line up at his till. And so I walked up to him one day and I was like, do you ever need beats or anything like that? Or do you want to be recorded? He's like, oh, dude, I would love to. Yeah, let's do it. Send me some tracks. Here's my email. Things totally blossomed from there. Last year, we recorded 5 tracks in like a week. I was just busting out these awful, awful beats. looking back on it now, but his recordings were great. There's a line in one of the tracks. I never released it. Maybe someday, but I released it at the album party or album release party. And he goes for like 15 or 16 bars in one breath, just rapping.
I remember you putting that on, I think it was like your Insta story or something.
Yeah.
And he was just cruising and it was the isolated vocal track.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's unbelievable. He is like one of the most talented people I've worked with, and he's not at the school anymore. And I've been a little disconnected from him as far as like giving him credit for, cause he's just like, I'll send him messages. I have CDs for him and I have all this credit and like funds from the album and stuff. He's just like, no, it's cool. I'm doing my own thing. And I'm like, but you're a phenomenal rapper. Like, yeah. I don't understand why you don't want to be a part of this. But he's been really instrumental. And so basically I took those tracks from last year with the horrible beats, took away the audio and put them into new things like Alone and Critical and things like that.
Critical is one of my favorites on the album.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was making that song in my friend's dorm because I was trying to make a song that was intentionally annoying. And so I was trying to mimic a mosquito sound as like a joke. And then it turned into that. No clue how that happened, but that song was made in like literally a day.
Wow.
you probably get that too as a songwriter. It's like you'll make stuff for hours and be like, this is trash. I don't understand why I have such bad writer's block. And you get frustrated and you do something stupid and it's like, why did I just make my like best hit ever? Like,
yeah,
out of nowhere.
I definitely have that on the EP that I'm working on that just happened with a track. We spent like 3 months on one of them and it turned out really well, but it was very tedious. And then we banged out one in like 3 days.
Yeah.
Like start to finish. And I was like, what?
Why did things work this way?
I could have had, at that rate, I could have had the EP in 12 days. But yeah, it's actually the same thing. Fits in the Tantrums, their song Hand Clap. Do you know that one? It's like, let me see your hand clap.
Yeah.
Apparently that was written in 15 minutes and it was the same thing. They had like a 2-hour studio session, didn't get anything done, and they were really frustrated. And he was like, you know what? We're walking out of here with a song. We've got 15 minutes left until we have to be out of here. And he just threw down the intro thing on the keys.
Yeah.
And then the song just came. He said the drummer just jumped on the sax player and they wrote the whole song. I know some of it gets critiqued of being too simplistic, but it's a hit.
15 minutes. Yeah.
And so they're like, yep, in 15 minutes, we wrote our biggest hit because we were frustrated at our lack of productivity.
I love that. I love that so much.
It's interesting how time constraints can actually really enhance the creative process, like the stress. And if you have writer's block, it obviously adds to the stress. But when you go, okay, I've got 3 days or 2 days or a week, whatever, 2 hours left. It's crazy what happens because out of necessity, you just move on or throw something and you're like, I need to put this here. Maybe it's just I'm missing something from the highs.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this bell or something.
This mosquito sound.
Exactly. And there it is.
But like what musician isn't stressed out constantly? I feel like for a lot of people that are like you're doing a million things and I was just overhearing your schedule. If you don't know Duncan's schedule, it's unbelievable. He's doing a lot of stuff, but it's stressful. Obviously you got a lot of stuff to do, and to make your dreams come true, it's a lot of work. And so the work pays off eventually, and it seems like it's already happening for you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. We'll see. Jumping backwards now, we kind of talked about Restart, which we can certainly keep revisiting, but you noted that you started on Fruity Loops back in like 2011. So how did you get from Fruity Loops to now Pro Tools, and then how do you leverage both?
Well, in high school, actually, I learned Pro Tools before FL, and that was through a really awesome studio program that was just starting up in my school. I was kind of thrown into this little closet with a computer, and that was the, like, quote-unquote recording studio there. Through funding and things like that, we were able to upgrade it to, like, an isolation booth and glass windows, Pro Tools, a 64-channel rack, and things like that. It was incredible. And I think I kind of took advantage of those things, but at the same time, it was like, I wish I still had that, you know? Like, it was a free professional recording studio that I could have used, and back in high school, I just didn't realize how cool that was until, like, try to get one myself and realize that it's expensive.
Yeah, it's really expensive.
And so, yeah, through that, we had a private teacher. He taught us how to use Pro Tools, and he was very generous about his time. I learned a lot about live sound and mixing from there. And I realized during that time, everything I was doing was to make a better product for other people. And I poked around at FL because I saw someone using it on YouTube once, and I was interested. That never took off until about, like, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, because that high school was like 4 or 5 years ago or so. I'm still in college, but it feels like a long time ago. I feel like I've come a long way from the early Pro Tools days. And mixing live sound, doing event production on a small scale just grew, and I took those talents with me to college. Moving up from there, and I was able to get small shows and just put things together because I knew how to do it, and that's paid off more than anything. I started investing my own gear, bought my first lighting rig and things like that. And those lights paid themselves off in like 2 shows, I swear. Just that little knowledge that I picked up in high school has come so far, and it's really helped shape my identity, as well as the producing. Like, if I didn't learn something, I could find it on YouTube. And if that didn't exist, I would not be here talking to you today. Like, YouTube is the most important tool I've ever come across. Those weird, like, German tutorials where the guy is talking to you about how to use this one plugin. They're just, like, so priceless. I can't even explain.
Yeah, the educational value is nuts, because they're not even... I feel like sometimes when it's by, like, Avid or something, the expert already knows all the little bells and whistles that you really need to know before doing whatever it is they need to do.
Yeah.
But just the general public lays that out in, like, layman's terms, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific, like, accounts that you follow? Is there any specific person that you search first, or do you just type in whatever it is you're trying to do?
Well, I mean, there's no, like, specific accounts, but as far as, well, I guess there's a couple. I do a lot of different stuff within FL, as well as Pro Tools and things like that. But with FL, there's this guy named Busy Work Beats, and it's specifically for hip hop, but the translations of those to, like, pop and EDM and R&B and things like that, they all go over. I feel like you shouldn't be limited to what they teach in the tutorial and take that information and apply it somewhere else. And that's where I've gotten most of my knowledge. But I've been really interested in producing visuals for a live set, like, you know, on a video wall behind you or something like that. And my goal, and the reason why I'm stopping the album production process for 4 or 5 years, or 3 or 4, whatever I said, a long time, is because I want to make one cohesive piece where I've developed every single part of it and know every single song, video, visual, and have a reason behind everything. Porter Robinson and Madian are a huge influence to me, and their works are like that. And I never thought that I was good enough to produce anything like that, but I feel like I'm on that track now, and I'm confident that I can, if I really put the time in and work it, I can make something like that. And so I've been learning how to use this free program called Blender, which is it's a physics engine on the computer, but also it's really good at producing really cool visuals in a realistic sense. So this guy, Blender Guru on YouTube, has been teaching me everything. I've been taking small tutorials, and I feel like for a restart, I'm starting to craft a lot of the visuals, like the album cover art and things like that were made on Blender.
Oh, cool.
And just picking up that process at the same time, learning Pro Tools, FL Studio, Audacity, Blender, After Effects, all these things together. And the most important thing that comes from that is that I want to learn them. Mm-hmm. I feel like for people getting started in music, it's a daunting thing, but everything's achievable if you just put in the effort. And you have to want to do it, because you can't force yourself to do something you don't want to do. Eventually, that's going to fall apart.
So you mentioned that you might be stopping the album production for a bit, but are you going to still be doing live shows during this time to kind of hone that? Or what's that look like?
The live shows have not slowed down whatsoever, and I'm really happy about that, because I used to be so afraid of live shows, and now I'm just embracing them. Especially for DJing for parties and things like that. I don't think my school has good DJs, but for the most part, they're very niche. and they have their specific genres, and there's not one person that kind of just can play music normally, mm-hmm. which is weird because I don't really consider myself that good of a DJ, but I don't care about playing specific songs, or I don't really have a preference. So it's a lot of Fergie, it's a lot of throwbacks.
Yeah.
And people have fun. The point of me DJing is not really for me to showcase my skills. It's for people right. to have a good time. And that's like a big part of my career, is just making sure that the people around me get credit where credit's due and having a good time while doing it, I guess.
Nice.
But yeah, no, through that, I've gotten a lot of opportunities. I believe I have a show coming up at the Hard Rock Cafe for like an EDM night having, which is really funny.
That's awesome.
I need to get more information on that, but
yeah, well, let me know and we'll be sure to push that as well.
Thank you so much.
That's exciting.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a big thing for me. But the album release party, the Small House shows, Bellingham, I have some friends up there that have been super supportive.
Nice.
And working with Dame and Fluency has been phenomenal. They're super supportive. Being in Dame's music video for his upcoming song and things like that, I've be happy to push those things your way, because I really want to support him. He's a phenomenal guy and I can't give him enough credit. But you know, on that line, I think it's important to really give back to the people that help you. Not enough people do that, and it's so important.
I saw that you had Haley on the record too.
Yeah,
and I think that kind of ties in, because speaking of helping people out, you were actually the first person to get my band stuff on the radio.
Really?
Which was back at KXSU back in September.
Yeah.
And so, and that's when I met Haley as well. So how did that come to fruition? Because when I met her then, she was like, oh, I would never be on a record or anything like that. Or I don't write. And here she is, you know, 8, 9 months later, and she was on a record.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, I never want to pressure someone into doing something I don't want to do, but right. I think Haley has always wanted to record, and she's been talking about it. And when people talk about it and they're like, no, I'm too scared, that was me at one point in my life, and I embraced it and I worked with it, and I can tell when people really want to do something. And so I just talked to her at one point, we hashed it out, and I was like, look, it's not a big part, but I really want you on this song called Trust Fall. Same with my friend Nick Parsons. That guy is my theater ride or die. We produce shows together.
Did he grow up around here?
No, he's from
My brother has a buddy, Nick Parsons.
No way.
I was like, what? But
that's so funny. But he's an amazing actor and producer. And he has a phenomenal voice, too. But he's been limited to like the theater side of things. And so for a long time coming, I've been like, I love your voice, and I would love to work with you on that track. And he was just like, sure, let's do it. And I've never been like, okay, here's the song. I've just been like, I don't even know what to do for this. Same with Haley. But when Trustfall came into like the development process and things like that, I started to realize this would be a great song to kind of have as a different sort of track, something more slow, something more melodic. And Nick Parsons' theater music voice was perfect for that part. And Haley's, that part of the song has been referred to as like angelic multiple times. And I've told her, like, people love your voice, and it's the most successful track on the album because of Haley. She got out of her comfort zone. I'm really proud of her, and I feel like more people should do that, especially if they're interested in music or listening to this podcast and they're like, shoot, I wish I could be a musician. It's like, you can, and you should. There should be nothing stopping you.
Just get started. And I think the best part about starting out is almost the ignorance of how poor some of your content can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the first album, I completely just took our first album down because a lot of it had to do with just sound design and not knowing. But the beauty of that whole process, as I remember finishing it and thinking, how will I ever write something better? We're finished. And now I look back, I'm like, oh, that should be hidden forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then to have a debut like that where it goes really well and is really, really well received is even more encouraging. I think it's just start and stumble, whatever it is.
But yeah.
Start and learn, watch the YouTube videos, collaborate with people, just talk to people doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
And get there.
And like one more note to add on to that, I think it's so important that you just shouldn't care what people think too. A huge part of this process is just trying to prove yourself to other people. And that's the worst thing you can do to yourself, because obviously you may have assumptions about other people's music, but when you're up there and trying to perform and do something, it's the scariest thing in the world. But when you're surrounded by people that you love that want to support you, it's the best feeling in the world, you know? Like, you can curb any anxiety when you're up there with your friends who want to support you. And everyone has those people in their lives, whether it's your parents or your best friend or your significant other. They want to help you. They want to watch you succeed. And that's just something that's unreplaceable and something that I learned along the way too.
Yeah. You mentioned family and whatnot. And I know you said you didn't really start in music until later. Did you have a really musical family? Or are you just kind of stepping out and like, I'm going to try this out?
It's kind of funny. My older brother went to Berklee College of Music in Boston as a singer, songwriter, and guitar player. I have a feeling he's going to be like John Mayer someday. He's really got a really good sound. And he just released a song too. If you go check him out, Chris Gleckman Music, giving my brother a shout out.
Yeah, there you go.
But additionally, I feel like he has always been the musician in my family. My parents bought him a guitar in third grade. He still plays it. He still uses it. Nice. Super beaten up. It's super cool. It's got its own natural marks and things like that. But that's been him for as long as I've known him. He's been up like at 2 a.m. in high school. I remember my dad knocking on his door being like, you haven't done your homework yet? It's like 2 a.m. and you're still playing guitar. He's incredibly talented though. And I can't wait till he starts producing his album. But that's always been... He's always been the musician of the family. And so I saw my place as like, well, if he's a musician, maybe I can be like the lighting guy or the stage production guy or the recording guy. And that's how that part started. But once, you know, he went off to college and I started exploring that industry, I was like, well, I can try to do this too. And literally, you know, like 4 years after I made that assumption that I'd be doing it. Mm-hmm. But I have to give the credit to him because he was the one who really inspired me in the first place. Nice. And also my parents being supportive, that's huge too.
Yeah, huge to have, just like you said, people in your corner. It can be so anxiety and stress inducing.
Yeah.
If nobody's there to help you out, it's a tough thing to balance.
Right.
But because it's like you're pouring your heart and soul into it. And I think even with music that... Some people critique it and say, oh, well, there's not enough substance. But those people are pouring in hours and their heart and soul. And it's always a bummer to hear some of that stuff because those people like labored over for
exactly.
hours, you know.
It's just the tip of the iceberg. The actual song itself, the stuff that goes into an album or a song is so much more than just the actual song itself.
Like you even noted, you had like 17 tracks.
Yeah.
The album, and it gets cut from there. And
oh, yeah.
It's like people aren't even getting to see those other, 9 songs?
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the same time, I have those songs, and they fit in shows in ways that they wouldn't in the album. So right. I like that part where you play something that nobody's heard before, and they know that it's only your music, which is the tricky thing about DJing, is because if you're not playing a song live, it's kind of like you could be playing anyone's song, and oftentimes people just enjoy the music, and they won't know when you're making a remix or it's your own track or something like that, and so... I think with my own shows, it's kind of a staple that either I play the music of my friends in my sets, or it's just mine. I don't want to cloud it with stuff that I like, just because I feel like if people are coming to a show, they want to come to see my music, and I'm really happy to show that to them.
Of the tracks that you had on the album, what was the most difficult one to make, and why?
This album, first off, has been weird too, because I wanted it to be as, like... professionally done as possible. I wanted to make it sound good because I noticed on my last track, I was like, I can't even listen to some of these because they're so poorly mixed. So I reached out to an engineer that was at Clatter and Din when I was interning over there. Nice. Aiden Woods, he's a phenomenal engineer. And I kind of tag teamed him with this because I was like, you're great at mixing and I need someone to mix my album. We should work together. And he's like, let's do it. I think the most difficult song on that album was probably One Step, the very first one. He didn't mix that one. I tried mixing it, and that's why.
Yeah.
I wrote the lyrics like in December on a train ride up to Truckee, California. But over time, I sent it over to him. I made 5 different versions of the original track, and then the 5th one was the one I was like, okay, we can actually use this one. And it's funny, on my computer, it's like, Dame 1, Dame 2, Dame 3, Dame 4, and that was Dame 5, and I was like, cool, that's the one. And the process of like actually recording and stuff, Dame was super patient, and I sent him the lyrics, and he was like coming up with like second and third versions of the whole song. He was putting as much work into it as I was, and then the whole 8-day mixing thing on Instagram was a nightmare, but it was like spending 4 or 5 plus hours, 8 days in a row in the studio just to make that song sound good. Was worth it. Nice. Like I've never had to do that before, and I'm so glad I did because I understand what it takes to produce something I'm proud of. But that song, I can explain every part of it, and it's just so close to my heart, and it was so difficult to make, and I'm so proud to release it regardless of whatever anyone else thinks. That's like that's a song for me. I'm sure you have some of those songs where it's just like, I love this song because it's for me.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that might answer my next question, which was let me pivot. Yeah. What song surprised you the most? You did a lot of collaborations, even if it's one you haven't released.
I think Critical was one that came out. People actually liked it a lot more than I thought. It was something I was going to cut from the album originally. But if you listen to the lyrics, it's very like, it's very in your face, and the message of the song is pretty much, I'm going to do what I want because I don't really care what you think anymore. And when I originally pitched the song to Ray when I was recording with him last year, subconsciously it fit. I don't know how, but I was like, I hate dealing with these musicians that just use me for recording and then dish me and never talk to me again or don't pay me. And that's just, every person in the industry is going to come across that at some point. Just hard to work with musicians. But he was like, no, I get that, dude. Let me come in on Saturday and record something. So I was like, cool. And so there's a part of that song where he goes, they idolize me like I'm an OG. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he's like, nah, dude, because they're using you, but you're going to be famous someday. And like when they come back and see what you produced, they're going to be like, oh yeah, I worked with him and like we're friends and stuff. Like I'm an OG, like I was idolized or something. And it was just weird to hear that, because back then I was like, what are you talking about? No, like this is, I don't know where this project's going, but I don't know. That song has been one of my most successful, and it's only been out for like a week. So, I don't know. I'm excited, and that song fits, and the mosquito sound that turned into like a really hardcore trap song. I don't know how that happened, but I'm really happy about it.
I know. I remember because I was listening just on shuffle, because I was like, I've listened to it now front to back, but that one came on, I think, after I'd been listening for like 10 or 15 minutes or so, and I was like, whoa, what? Because like you said, that trap feel, and I was like, this is not what I was expecting.
Right.
And then you did a phenomenal job. Well, both of you did a phenomenal
Thank
job.
You.
So it was definitely one where I like perked up. I was like, what's happening? So you've got a bunch of live shows. You noted that they're not really slowing down. You're also going abroad. Are you going to be bringing live shows abroad, or is that just decompress and let loose for a little bit?
I mean, that'd be fun. I need a break from everything.
For sure.
I'm sure you do too, for everything you do. But yeah, this has been a trip that I'm planning with my best friend. He actually flew up from Florida. His name is JP. He's my best bud. But he flew up from Florida just to come to my own release party from Orlando to Seattle. And that was like irreplaceable. Speaking of which, it's actually funny. I met him back in high school, like from my freshman year. And we made a little like goal to each other that one day we're going to like perform a show together and be on stage.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that'll happen. 5 years passed and we actually did it. And it's so weird that actually happened, but that was a huge moment for me and him.
That's really cool. Cross country for a show. That's
right.
Incredible.
It's dedication. And it like, yeah. My friends that do that are the people that I'll have for life. I think that just shows that people care about you, and I would do the same for him any day. So we're going to Paris and Nice and Corsica and Italy this summer over that time. It's maybe a show, but like I'll just have my laptop, so I'll see what happens.
Right. That's exciting.
Yeah.
But how long are you going for?
2 weeks or so. In between then, like I'm pretty much canceling myself out that entire time. I'm like,
do it.
I'm excited, but
disconnect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so like besides that, I am working with a lot of people, and the album's been, all the music stuff's been put on pause because I'm starting to do more branding stuff with this startup label called Anime House Records or Entertainment.
Oh, nice.
And it's a rap group, and it's some of the most talented people I've ever worked with.
Cool.
Helping them get started. They already put shows on in Bellingham and some of the local areas around here. The main guy, Dextro, just did a song with Michael Christmas, the second biggest rapper out of Boston. And they're making major moves, and they want to have me be a part of that group, and I'm so excited to be a part of it and work with them. As like a different role, you know, I'm not a musician there. I'm a manager, and that's crazy to me, but also I feel ready to do that.
Yeah.
And just have that chapter be the next part of my life, or at least this summer. Like, I don't know. I'm taking what I'm learning from marketing and brand management classes at SU, just like my college talking about how to manage a company, and just translating that over to a record label.
Mm-hmm.
And
it totally applies.
It does. It's weird.
Yeah.
I never imagined that working that way. But yeah, as you know, it's like you got to manage these things as like employees, salaries, cuts, things like that. It all translates.
Yeah. it's awesome to have something like that to apply to, like, while you're in school, because I think a lot of the time it's tough to, even if you're just like you mentioned, doing something on YouTube, it's like you could be researching something and learning about it, but if you're not directly applying it, it doesn't feel as valuable or it's not as exciting.
Yeah.
But then when you're learning that stuff and working on a project that you get to apply it to, it has a whole new, you get a whole new perspective.
Oh yeah.
And you realize it's really valuable. Right. But sometimes it's hard to be in class or someone's, you know, talking to you about what they do, and if you don't get it or see yeah. how it value, you're like, why am I here?
Oh yeah.
And so it's great that you're just soaking it up and have an outlet to apply it to, because yeah, and that's a super exciting opportunity.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, how did that come to be?
It's the craziest thing ever. So I might be doing work within a group, like an EDM group of me and my friend Karsten. He's a phenomenal producer. He doesn't have a lot of music out right now, but he's helped me with several tracks on this album, including Feel Like. He made some nice. Of the synths. There's a background synth for the song you're on that actually is your voice in like the intro part. Uh-huh. You would never know, but he made it out of your voice, which thought was amazing. Yeah, he's really good at producing and with Serum and plugins like that.
Nice. I never would have known that.
It's so funny. He took an Uber ride with this guy, Dexter, the main guy from Anime House, and they started talking a little bit. And he was like, yeah, I work at KXSU, the radio station. My friend Karsten does. And then this guy was like, oh, no way, I'm a producer. Like, that sounds super cool. And Karsten was like, we should get you on this show called Project Social. I'll talk to Haley. And then he was like, oh, I don't know if Haley's going to be down for this, actually, because you're like not part of SU and stuff like that. And then he's like, oh, wait, Mark, like maybe Mark could do it. And the second I heard it, I was like, yeah, no, let's do this. That sounds awesome. And they came on, I connected with them, and they played some of their music, and I talked to them and got to know them. And they're just really fun, cool people that work like no one else. They put in more hours to make this music thing happen than anyone I've seen.
That's awesome.
Work, sleep, music, Uber, you know?
Yeah.
So once I clicked with them, they're like, you should come over. We'll give you all these sample packs and plugins and things like that. And I was like, cool, yeah, I'd love to check out your space. And they did. I got like gigs and gigs of samples and all this music. And I was like, who are you guys? Like, when did you come up? And they're like, we have everything. You can hear all music and stuff like that. We just don't have a way of like getting it out into the world. And so I was like, well, let me help. Like,
yeah,
this seems like a really good opportunity. And this is the first kind of professional group I've worked with so far. So I feel like I'm making the right moves with them. And it seems really fun. I'm excited. Say the least.
That's awesome.
This summer, everything's coming together.
I know, man. Well, really excited for you.
Thank you.
And congrats again on the album. Keep me posted. We'll be sure to be pushing all of this.
Likewise.
Take that break. Enjoy that break.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you'll come back fired up, too. Once
well rested, yeah.
Yeah. It's almost one of those things where it's like anxiety when you're working on music because you want to get it out. And then after a break, it's like the anxiety to keep working, yeah, you know,
transition but, halfway through, relaxing for maybe like 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. But safe travels, and thanks again for coming on and
thank
doing
you
this.
So much for having yeah. me. It's such an honor to be a part of this. Oh, really, yeah, you're doing great things, Duncan. This program, this podcast, is unlike any other, and I think it's really going places. So I'm honored to be a part of it before it blows up.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate the kind words, and like I said, we'll have to maybe have to have you come back sometime with some of the guys you're working with. And,
yeah,
and
let's get you back on KXSU too.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Just taking up space in an empty room. Looking back, this will all be over soon, yeah. All be over soon, yeah. Well, I carry bags of the things I'll never use. Try to leave behind the things I didn't choose. But what have I got to lose now? Cause time can tear us, fights can break us. But all I need is honesty. So make it simple, baby. I'm sure it'll be just fine. Gotta take it one step at a time. That's something I'd like to see, yeah. Remember that's what you're feeling. With you is the place to be, yeah. I'm sure it'll be just fine. Gotta take it one step at a time. And I know when things get hard, oh,
Just keep it simple, baby. I'm sure it'll be just fine. That's something I'd like to see. Remember, that's what you feel. With you is the place to be. I'm sure it'll be just fine. Gotta take it one step at a time. When the rain hits my face, think of all the people that could have made me feel like I belong out here. So why did they suddenly disappear? When you fly high, the sun sets low. Somewhere down in Mexico, where it's so hot and I'm so cold. I wish I would have never told you. I guess we both have issues. Can't fake the anxiety. I guess we both have a side that other people will never see. Cause time can tear us, fights can break us. We need a little sympathy. So make it simple, baby. I'm sure it'll be just fine. We gotta take it one step at a time. That's something I'd like to see. Remember, that's what you're feeling. With you is the place to be. I'm sure it'll be just fine. Gotta take it one step at a time. And I know, and I know, when things get hard, just keep it simple, baby. I'm sure it'll be just fine. That's something I'd like to see. Remember, that's what you're feeling. With you is the place to be. I'm sure it'll be just fine. Gotta take it one step at a time. Take it one step at a time, yeah. Take it one step at a time.
That was One Step by Lone Human featuring Dame. Be sure to check it out on all platforms. His album Restart is out now, so show him some love. And if you want to listen to the artists that we've been discussing during these episodes, follow Made for Music on Spotify, as we're actually going to be putting together playlists comprised of the songs that we discuss on both the local and national level. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please go ahead and rate us on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening site is. We really appreciate y'all helping us out there, and we will see you next time.